Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily right here, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio in beautiful Matawan, New Jersey. Actually, did you get caught in all that that construction? Or do you come from a different way, Jimmy?
I come from a different way.
Okay, well, you're lucky.
25 minutes.
I come from like all
right. It was a little bit of a mess coming in here this morning because they're doing construction and they're building new things and this, that, and the third. But yeah, we're here on a Monday. It's a victory Monday for two thirds of the cast today. Serge Gooch, and of course, in studio today on a football Monday, Jimmy Palumbo getting involved here with the Chop Sports Network. Congrats, you finally got a win, at least something to talk about as far as the Giants are concerned.
Huh? There's a lot to talk about in the NFL.
There is a lot to talk about in the NFL. We're going to get into all that today as we work out some of the live kinks that we always have to work through, but we are here on a Monday. So, Jimmy, how are we feeling, bro? Welcome back.
It's good to be back from Los Angeles. I got in Tuesday night, and so it's good to be back here in the wonderful studio here, Flipping Made Easy.
Yes.
Getting involved here on a fine Monday morning. It was a fun weekend. I watched some sports.
Well, that's good. It's your job.
Again, there will be a new T-shirt up. It's just going to say stinks. Because what I saw, and again, the beauty about having me on the show is that I represent the older people. I mean, anybody over like age of 42.
You do such a good job.
Yeah, I do good at that. Right. Because what you guys don't realize is that you have so much invested in this National Football League, mm-hmm. and so does ESPN and Fox, that just like the way social media runs certain things, no one realizes that the games themselves stink. And you look at the NFL, you just said the NFC is loaded. I see
Jimmy Palumbo reading the paper, which really shows your age. Listen,
I actually cut it out because you know why? Because you could see it real easy and go, wow.
You can see it easy. You don't even have your readers on. There's no way that you can see that.
I even have my readers on today. I can't see nothing.
I don't mind putting my readers on. You know where I got these from?
Absolute Eyewear.
Getting involved here. No, it's just, I watched the games. The Giant game yesterday, and I'm not talking, the Giants stink. We know that. But the actual game stinks. The score was 5-3.
At the bottom of the sixth.
I had a couple of beers with me. I'm like, you know, is it second and third? Maybe we get a base hit. We tie it. We give up the lead.
Absolutely.
The games are so bad.
You're talking about the Giants and the Panthers.
And then there was
talking about the NFC is
how
loaded.
About the Sunday?
And then that's the two teams.
All right, we'll get into it right now.
I was watching the Red Zone. I thought the Packer Redskin game was bad.
Let's start there. The Green Bay Packers, stinks. Gooch is back on another sixth consecutive victory Monday. Gooch, look, I can't say enough about Aaron Rodgers, man. The guy is all world. He lights up the scoreboard each and every week. There's nothing denying this kid, this old man, of doing what he does. And one day, they'll have a receiver other than Devontae Adams. One day. But until then, they don't need anything.
It's kind of crazy to me. I'm looking at it. It's third and 14, and Devontae Adams is wide open.
Who was that little guy on the Patriots years ago? The little guy.
Edelman.
Okay, Edelman.
Welker
too. As a fan, I used to say, have all 12 guys cover Edelman, and then if they get a first down, well, that's
11,
fine.
There's 11.
I feel that way.
Throw a coach in.
Somebody come off the bench.
See, with Welker or Edelman, I'll understand them being open because you kind of, they're the forgotten guy, but Devontae Adams is a stud. He's the best.
I know, but I don't understand why. I think defensive coordinators, especially, there's going to be a week where they're going to play like a 2-10 team, and if I was a defensive coordinator, I'd be like, look, I'm going to put 7 guys on him, and I'm going to rush one guy to the quarterback and just hope that he has no one else to throw to, because when you play it straight up, he's open, but he's not just open. He's open like
20
it looks
yards.
Like I'm covering him. Like, oh, I don't have him.
Looks like scoop on Gooch.
It's not even when he's open. It's when you have one guy on him. He's wide open.
He's wide open.
You
and then
you can't cover him with one person.
Like, you almost feel like the defensive back is going to yell, I don't got him. I don't got him. Like, there's a panic. And yet, and another thing about Rodgers again, I always have this. The two best quarterbacks in the league are clearly Rodgers and Brady. And it's one of those things where you put the Packer game on and you're like, you know what? Rodgers is the best quarterback in the league. And then you put the Buccaneer game on and you go. Yeah.
Brady had himself a day.
And I'm like, we'll talk about it.
And I get blown away by how effortless. Daniel Jones is running around, mudding his face, diving all over the place. Rodgers looks like he stepped out for a little cup of tea. And then he had a nice little, maybe a Cosmopolitan with his friends. And he throws for 300 yards. And
these days,
game.
He's looking like he just smokes mad weed.
He does look like a like homeless. I don't even know how to consider Aaron Rodgers.
The reffing was atrocious in that game on both sides of the ball.
I didn't really watch it to that extent.
But you're talking about how bad the Packers' defense is. I'm saying that they're ranked fifth in the NFL. I'm saying that the NFL, all defenses are bad, even the good ones.
Not Dallas.
I think the Washington.
They've given up their points,
I know,
too.
Washington stinks. And all I saw when a little bit of, you know, I didn't watch it like you did, fair enough. But all I saw was Washington, and they're inside the 30. They didn't score. And they're inside the 30. No score. And Washington down to the 22.
First of all,
they didn't score.
That's a testament to the defense as well, though. Now, there was a play where Taylor Heinicke dove for the goal line.
Garbage.
It's the rule. It's not the rule. Yes, it's 100%
okay,
the rule.
No. That's not the rule.
I don't agree with the rule, but stop saying it's not the rule.
Listen to me. There's a rule in which when a quarterback slides, right?
Yeah.
Slides.
Yeah.
The ball is marked where the slide starts.
Okay.
When you dive forward, you are an active runner. You didn't give himself up. He dove for the end zone. He wasn't touched. That's a touchdown.
Based on your opinion or the rules?
I'm just saying it's a touchdown.
The minute the quarterback dives or gives himself up, and then he turned the way he turned. He didn't actually reach the ball out. The ball was right here. It was tucked. If he reaches the ball across the goal line before his knee hits, fine. But the rule is, if you give yourself up, this is all about player safety. They changed the rule 3 years ago. It is the rule. You might not agree with it, but
I just remember slide, no. Dive, you're active.
Yeah, and then they changed it.
And then you can tumble and whatever. Changed it.
It's 100% a changed rule.
Hot garbage.
I disagree Shitty with the rule. Rule, but hey, this is
whatever.
Where it is now.
Again, and shout out to the Packers for starching them after
and
that.
He had the ball on the 1-inch line, and then he fumbled on the next play. So
that's on
him.
Because it's Taylor Heinicke, that's why. But anyway, this is what good teams are supposed to do. They're supposed to beat up the bad teams. And Washington football team is a bad football team. I say that like twice. The football team is a bad football team because they are. And there's nothing to be said about the Washington football team that's good right now. The whole highly touted defense is shit. I mean, it's also Aaron Rodgers, so yes, fine. But like their defense
played garbage. Better than they've been playing because I've watched a lot of Washington games. I own Antonio Gibson in a lot of leagues. They've been terrible. Yesterday in the first half, they actually played decent, all things considered.
I mean, talking about the team that the New York Football Giants should have defeated.
We don't want to harp too much on it, but yes, it's a 6-1 record, and now Gooch has the cold sweats as the Arizona Cardinals are coming to town. No, you confident?
No, that team looked beatable. I watched that game yesterday.
Beatable?
Yeah,
yesterday. They gave up 5 points.
I'm not.
And one was a ridiculous safety.
That team looked like shit yesterday in the first half. I'm just looking for any ways that we could expose them. Murray is so tiny. If you just, he looked banged up. I don't know. I guarantee
he also got his head almost taken off.
There's an injury designation next to Kyler Murray. I could almost guarantee it going into next week.
Again, there's another. The only reason why that game is exciting is because they're both teams are, there's only one loss between them. But I don't think everybody's like, ooh, can't wait for that Cardinal Packer game.
I am. I'm actually very excited for it.
You're the only one.
You might be the only one not excited for a 7-0 over a 6-0.
That's it, though. It's just, in other words, it's like.
That means you're finally going to get an upper echelon of the teams in the NFC to find out who's the team to beat.
Speaking
of upper echelon of teams, we'll talk about the New York Football Giants right now. Because
first of all,
a 25-3 win. First of all, scores 25 points in the NFL, first of all? This makes Cynthia Freeland's numbers look amazing because she's always dropping 22s and 26s in her predictions. A 25 definitely never existed.
First of all, it was 5-3 in my mind, looking back on it Monday morning. To me, it was 5-3 until a minute left, and the Giants scored 20 points in the last 35
seconds. That's what it felt like, yeah.
It was like 5-3. I'm watching the score, but wait a minute, is that the Astros? They're playing a day game?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Look,
it was awful.
I picked this game right, and I said, this is the game that if Daniel Jones wants to pretend that he's the future quarterback of this team, he's got to beat the Panthers, who are reeling.
I got to give Jones some credit. I mean, I don't know how good he is, but like he definitely looks like at least tough or a gamer or
Daniel Jones.
He was like, you know, diving, catching passes, getting beat up, hitting. I mean, I got to give the kid credit. I don't know if he's an elite quarterback or ever gonna be. I doubt it. I think he's just gonna be a journeyman kind of guy, but. Play calling was awful. They keep on cutting to Jason Garrett. And all I think of this guy.
It's because their offense is. Here's
now
the thing.
He's our offense coordinator.
Well,
he's got to be out of the
Jason league. Garrett, there was plenty of play calls in which I'm like, you this is it was reminiscent of everything that he did for Dallas, which is nothing. You know, he won no big games. He didn't get past the divisional round. Like, that offense under Jason Garrett was shit. And now he's bringing his shit to the Giants.
And it certainly looks that way.
And look, yeah, I mean, the Giants have a lot of injuries. I'm not harping on the fact that they're banged the hell up. You know,
they lost six. Is it five or six of their top seven receivers?
Right.
I'm not so sure. Outside of maybe Brady or Rodgers, any team could.
You know what happens when you're a bad team?
You get injured.
You can't withstand injuries. You know what happens when you're a good team? You lose Jair Alexander, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, David Bakhtiari.
These are your wide Elton receivers? Jenkins.
These are our starting corner, best one, oh, top no, no, three no, no, in the league. No,
no. See, you're not listening.
Edge rusher in the
I'm
league.
Talking about Giants have left five tackle, or six receivers.
And we're 6-1.
Receivers. It's the NFL now where you throw 90 times a game.
The Packers have one receiver.
Yeah, I know that. So if he gets hurt, I don't want to hear, well,
the Packers went 4-0 last year with Davante Adams hurt.
Okay, but you have Aaron Rodgers, which we said in the beginning. I said outside of Brady.
That's the bottom line here.
And Aaron, I mean, Brady.
All right. Well, anyway, look, Giants won a game.
I just want you to understand.
Giants won the game.
The Packers' defense is good. The Giants suck. And just because
Giants won a game, and for anybody who's listening and wants some optimism, technically, by all stretch in the standings, the Giants are in second place.
There you go.
Tied with the Eagles and the Washington football team at 2-5 behind the 5-1 Dallas Cowboys. But hey, listen, I digress. And playing
another team that stinks is the Kansas City Chiefs.
We'll talk about them. We'll get into this next one, though. For the first time in the NFL, I know, we won't talk a lot about this because this game that's on the screen right now, he's like, what are you talking about? The Jets. We'll move on to the Jets, in which, we moved on to the Jets.
You got more on the Jets.
Okay, so wait a minute. We're moving on to the Jets, and you're going to not let me say the word stink? That's not fair.
No, I didn't say that.
The Jets stink.
Jets
you have a bye week, and you give up 54 points with a Patriot team that is about to announce that they stink as soon as the season goes on.
Well, this is either. Also the first time an NFL team this season has scored 50 points.
That's
and it's on the Jets. And look, Zach Wilson gets hurt. You know, they bring in my boy, Mike White, who's a former Dallas Cowboy fourth-string quarterback. He is now hopefully the savior of New York. I don't know what to look at. I can't spend too much time on the Jets because they're just that bad of a football team.
It's not good for ratings, but they're, moving on.
Right, but in reality, there was a lot of optimism going into the Jets season. There was a lot of hope and hype and Zach Wilson and Robert Saleh and the defense is okay. Bedford don't break, blah, 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 blah. They broke. They broke very badly, and the Jets are terrible.
If you want to hear more about this piece of shit game, tune in Wednesday or Thursday.
Yes, Wednesday for the goddamn Jets. They'll be recording their podcast tomorrow. You can tune in and they'll break down this entire abysmal showing. We move on to another game that was relatively scary for anybody who picked the Rams as a suicide pick this week. The Lions started off a little hot. I mean, they got excited. A couple fake punts. Like, they're trying. They're really trying. And there's no way for effort. They are 4-3 against the spread now. But they're 0-7. The Lions have still not won a game as the Rams continue to move forward in their season as they're 6-1.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the Lions are better than the Jets and Giants? I do.
I think the Lions are better than the Jets. I don't think they're better than the Giants. Not yet, at least. Hey, you're Mr. the record says who they are or whatever. No, Giants got two wins. The Lions got none.
It seems like the Lions are in every game.
The exact same team, only Jared Goff is a veteran quarterback, and he's the quarterback of the Lions. So that's the difference. The Jets and the Lions are both atrocious.
Do they have, like, the Spider-Man meme, like, pointing at each other? Like,
yeah, they're the same thing, only one of them is better because Jared Goff. Okay. But say better when they're 0-7, it's really hard.
It's a rough game, but the Rams
beat the Titans, bro.
That's mind-numbing.
The Jets beat the Titans.
Mind-numbing. Any given Sunday.
I can tell you why.
I can't. But anyway, the Rams move it on. They're 6-1. They're cruising. Now to Jimmy Palumbo's Tom Brady Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I thought for sure the Bears were going to show out, or at least show up to this one. My boy Jay Silverberg actually went all the way to Tampa for this game. I feel so terrible. He actually went for a bachelor party, so it's not like he went for this game. And he hates Tom Brady more than life, and he's actually from Boston. So he hates Tom Brady. Or no, does he hate Tom Brady? Yeah, I think I hate Tom Brady, but...
It's hard to hate Tom Brady on a day like today after seeing the things that he did yesterday. Forget the football field. The things that he did off the field were great. Tom Brady took that opportunity.
When I tell you that there's a express line to heaven, he's in front. You know what I mean? Like, he is absolutely in front. But this guy does.
I refuse to go that far.
No, I don't.
Nice gesture by him, though.
No, but I don't. This guy, all he does is just do good things. I'm sorry. Like,
no, he's
just,
still a piece of shit.
No, he's not.
I still
That's
think we're
going to
find
not.
Out something.
You may not like him because he's ended your season a couple times, but he's not. He's no, not a piece of shit.
He's ended my season once. I'm in the end.
I'm convinced maybe the mob controls Brady, and they just holding his whole family hostage.
It was a nice thing to do, but...
Do you realize he has 600 touchdown fans?
Do you realize Mike Evans gave that ball away?
I think...
Did you hear about that?
No.
The touchdown was scored. Mike Evans always gives the touchdown ball to a fan. He catches the touchdown. He runs over to a fan. Here you go. He gets to the sidelines. They're like, you just gave away Tom Brady's 600th touchdown pass. His facial expression was like, oh, my God.
So what do you do? What do you do if you're the guy that got that ball? He gave it back.
He did give it back.
Another signed ball and a jersey,
signed jersey
or something.
Or you just tell the Hall of Fame in Canton, listen, we're just going to have the 400th ball, the 500th ball, and to be honest with you, hang on for a little bit, the 700th. I swear to God, if he throws for 700 touchdown passes.
He needs to play another three or four years for that to happen.
No, he needs to. He threw five yesterday. So
I think he needs to.
He needs to play this season and next.
I think right? including.
He has to play the rest of this season and he'll get his 700.
It's just, again, back to my comment.
It's not even fair.
You watch Rodgers and you go, this is the best guy. Then you put the Buccaneer game and you go, oh, no, it's clearly Brady, and meanwhile the whole thing makes me
sick. I think still, and this is just me talking as an outsider football fan, I think mechanics wise and like the effortless, Aaron Rodgers gets the nod. But like, march your team down a field with zero mistakes, Tom Brady's the guy. Like, I'm not. I would never.
No,
I would never.
Brady throws more picks than Rodgers does. He's more mistake prone. But what it comes down to, I'll tell you the difference. And I've been thinking about this for the last 20 years. Right. The thing with Rodgers, and this is just talking about these two particularly, and I'm going to give Brady the nod here, and only because it's just what I think goes on in the locker room. I think with Aaron Rodgers, you always believe you have a chance to win the game no matter what. With Tom Brady, you believe you're going to win the game no matter what.
I that's a good
you
point.
Get that what I'm makes sense. I like that.
Just the culture that he brings is like, it's like, all right, he might fuck up here or there. He threw three picks in the NFC Championship last year. He got outplayed by Rodgers, but it didn't matter. Obviously, the defense was there, but
I just think
there's a feel with Brady in the locker room where it's like, oh, we got Brady. We're going to win the Super Bowl.
Well, one of the articles when he first got to the Buccaneers last year was
very
like
good point.
Some of the players were like, there was a whole, he walked onto the practice field and the whole feel of the, like the guy, the kid pouring the water, the girl taking video, everybody was like, it's like, and not bowing. It's like, hey, if I'm pouring water for these guys, I'm going to pour great water. If I'm taking still pictures.
Everybody like wants everyone, to do like, good because he's around.
And he also demands.
Kind of like Jesus Christ.
I mean, he demands excellence, but only in a preparation way.
Yeah.
And Rodgers just says, well, show up, make sure that wide receiver we have is there so I can just.
That wide receiver. Sling. Yeah, you're right. But look, the Bucs run over the Bears.
The one thing I will say about the Bears, they stink.
Not only do it's not that they stink, their coach really kind of just. It doesn't look like he's a winner, but there was a shot, and everybody knows it because there's a meme out there already because you knew it was going to happen, and he had to know that it was going to happen. There was a very disinterested Justin Fields on the sidelines. He's turned the ball over five times by himself, three picks, two fumbles. That was his, hey, Rook, welcome to the NFL moment.
You say disinterested, I say dejected, defeated, maybe doesn't like his head coach, disagrees with a lot that's
you
going on.
You saw that shit on draft night. When he got drafted to the Bears, you saw this demeanor where it was like, oh, man, this is going to be tough sledding.
They meme that up, and as a Packers fan, I like that. I like where you're going with it. But I think that's just because you see it in both cases. Right. I just think that's the guy. You know, he might have that demeanor.
So he's got that Cam Newton to him, the boo-boo when it's bad but really excited when it's good.
I mean,
that's what Cam Newton is.
I'm kind of like that too. Right?
I mean.
But I understand where you're going. You don't want your starting quarterback to be like that. But when you're down 40 points to the Bucs, it's kind of a lost cause at this point. Do you want him to walk around happy? You get what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather see somebody completely fucking angry. And
well, here to your point, I will say this. And this is not tooting Dak.
When they're down,
he's up. He's up and he's in your face and he's like, let's go get it. Let's go get it. Let's go get it. This kid
they
was
were down 38-3.
I'm like, nothing's going right.
I don't
like,
think if
get
Dak,
off it,
I think
bro.
If Dak
you're in
down,
the NFL.
If Dak
shut
is
your
down
mouth.
38-3, if any quarterback is down 38-3 and he's around the sideline going rah-rah, I think there's going to be a shred of the players that are looking at each other like, dude,
I'm not saying 38-3. Yes, this score was out of control, but it just seemed like it was way before 38-3 that he was just like boohoo. But anyway, I'm not going
to
talk about Justin Fields.
At the end of the day, to sum it up, the Bears stink. That's how
you sum it up. Okay, there it is. Bears stink. Moving on to another game that was absolutely picked wrong. Actually, you know what? I took the Titans, but because I felt like they were rolling, I felt they were flying the high after the Bills win. What is to make of the Kansas City Chiefs right now, man? Their defense is so bad, and it's not even just their defense, dude. Is this Madden curse took a year off or something like that? Because Patrick Mahomes has been paid and will be paid $500 million to be the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, and your team is 3-4 right now. That is not money well spent. I'm sorry.
I think it a little bit of, you know, the Chiefs look so unstoppable on offense for the last 5 years. And, you know, defense coordinators get paid $5 million a year to go, okay, what do we need to do to shut this down? So there's all little magic and these flip passes and all that other stuff. Like, that's why Mahomes will never be at the level, in my opinion, of a Brady or Rodgers.
I agree.
Great quarterback. He runs around. He did the thing. But defense coordinators have shut it down.
And here's what.
And now they stink.
Here's what happens. I was listening to the telecast yesterday on the 49ers-Colts game, and they were talking about DeForest Buckner and how the 49ers didn't bring him back. And he compared it to the Chiefs. He was like, you know, the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl and they managed to find a way to bring that offense back together and everybody's still there. But then you look at, I mean, the 49ers.
They don't have a running game.
They're not a great example. But to my point that I'm making is, he's like, the Chiefs did it. How come the 49ers couldn't do it? There was no answer for us. But you see what's happening to the Chiefs now when you put yourself in contract hell. They signed Mahomes. They signed Tyreek Hill. They signed Kelsey to these big, massive deals. And now you have nobody to pay, no money to pay your defense. And it shows. They have the worst ranked defense in the league. And it's just the business that we're in. The Chiefs are going to struggle to put good players on the field, especially now that Mahomes is struggling. You might get that veteran discount for some guys if they believe in the quarterback. But now that Mahomes is throwing a pick a game,
I feel like.
And is he out for next week?
The Chiefs. The Chiefs right now are pretty much in. You hear rumors about the Chiefs in on pretty much any defensive player that gets released or available, becomes available for trade, because they're desperate to fix that side of the ball. But you're not going to see any of these players picking the Chiefs. You didn't so far.
Stephon Gilmore.
Because nobody wants to go in there and be another piece of a bad defense. Like, there's these veteran guys. They want to go to a team like Tampa Bay where they're like, oh, you know, I could slide in, find a role and win.
Richard Sherman. Yeah, guys like that. Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are not a destination.
Whitney Merciless took less money to go with Green Bay.
A lot of teams in the NFL, you know, there's an arc. You know, you do well for a while and it slides to the other side. Patriots are certainly going through that. So
it makes it more impressive when you see these teams sustain at least being competitive for such a long time. The common theme usually is quarterback.
Speaking of not being competitive, we move on to the Philadelphia Eagles, who have lost now another football game as they go to 2-5. Their season looks lost. Their season looks like they're going to really have to stock up on those draft picks, because right now I believe they're in the top 10 twice. So they might even have three top 10 picks if Carson Wentz plays 75% of what the Colts snaps or whatever the case may be. But they're a bad football team as well. The Raiders, who have, again, they moved on from the shit that was, you know, like the Gruden stuff that they put that behind them last week. They were flying high for Bisaccia, right? They do it again. This offense, when Jacobs is healthy, that dude can run. You know what I mean? And shout out to Derek Carr, who, by the way, him and Tommy D must go to the same barber. I don't know what he's trying to do, but it's like a jet black.
It's actually very funny.
Right?
Yeah, because it's exact.
It really is. And he still wears makeup. I don't know if Tommy D's doing that on purpose. Like, I'm going for the Derek Carr. haircut. But anyway.
The Eagles, I mean, you know, the Raiders scored on – when you score on five straight possessions, that means you stink. I mean, that's
yeah, that's math. Know,
and you're, first of all, they're in the NFC East, and outside of the Cowboys, the rest of the division – is El Garbage time.
I don't want it. Like, yeah, Tommy hit me up. He's like, yeah, you know, that division stinks. I'm like, you mean after the 5-1 Cowboys? Because I don't give a shit what those other teams are doing. They want to beat each other up and stink? That's on them.
And remember, and always remember, who in the history of all sports, what team competed in the worst division of any sports for 20 years? It would be the New England Patriots. I mean, Jets, Dolphins, yeah. Buffalo Bills. So what's happening to the Cowboys?
So you're
Cowboys
saying the NFC East is turning into the AFC East?
Well, but you have to do it
and
for 20
years. And the Patriots are the Cowboys?
Well, you have to do it for 20 years.
I'll take that.
Yeah, you should
take that. I'll take that very much.
If that division was if the AFC East was competitive, the Patriots still would have been good because they had Brady and Belichick, but not this casual winning the divisions.
Right. Well, the Eagles won't be winning any divisions, and I still think Jalen Hurts is trash bag.
The Raiders are now in the driver's seat.
They are in the driver's seat, the AFC West. They really are. I mean, like, obviously the Chargers will be there at the end, and I firmly believe that the Broncos are just bad at football.
Chiefs aren't dead yet, but they're certainly dying.
They're two games back after seven. So that's pretty. Nobody had this. You know what I mean? Nobody had the Raiders shooting up the ranks.
You definitely didn't.
No, I had the Chiefs 17-0.
And the Chiefs want nothing to do with a giant defense.
That's what's coming up. So now I beg the question, is that, I mean, I will keep continuing this coverage week seven, but week eight, is this the get right game for Kansas City? Like, are they going to be like, look, if we got to get right, it's going to be at the Giants' expense. Yes. Sort of like the Patriots did with this week, I feel like the Cowboys pissed them off and they just beat the shit out of the Jets.
Same thing with the Rams. The Giants played the Rams and the Rams just killed them. So that could happen to the Giants. The other thing is, my worst nightmare is if the Giants actually beat the Chiefs. Because that would be 3-5, man. We got 17 games.
Here comes the Super Bowl run. Yeah,
here we go. We're going to run the
and
table.
And people wouldn't realize that it's just another shitty win because the Chiefs aren't good.
Exactly right, which happened all day yesterday. So everybody calm down, including your Packers. They beat a shitty team.
All right. Well, speaking of probably the game of the week, I think. You know, and it's funny. We finally met a Bengals fan last week, and we can get more into that as we go with him. But the Cincinnati Bengals... The Bungles, the team that everybody kind of didn't write off. It's just like, they're like, all right, do we buy it? Let's not buy it yet. Here come the Ravens. Let's definitely not buy it.
Big brothered by Baltimore in Baltimore, and they fucking didn't. They went in and took them out, took over first place.
Hey, you got to start giving credit. You know, to
Jamar Chase Burrow, is something special.
Came in.
I'm seeing comparisons of a young Joe Montana at a Joe Burrow.
Here we go.
It's so rare when a guy is highly touted and he comes in and actually semi-delivers, because it seems now that all these highly touted guys either get hurt or fade
Broadway
away.
Joe.
And he was being memed up because everybody was bashing the fact that they took Jamar Chase in the draft and they didn't take the lineman. Well, now look, their line's actually playing real well. And Jamar Chase is... far and away the rookie of the year.
Did either of you guys watch any of the pregame at all? NFL Network pregame?
I gave that up, but it was so Irv Cross was on.
Joe Burrow sat down with Boomer Esiason, and they like did one of those like legend breakdowns or whatever. Joe Burrow's a smart dude, bro.
So who's the legend there?
Are you kidding? Boomer's a legend. Stop. He is. Come on, he went all the way to the Super Bowl.
If Boomer Esiason wasn't on WFAN, we'd be going, remember that guy Boomer?
Exactly. Boomer.
That's not true. Play for the Jets.
I don't even like him.
He would be like talking about, you know what? Let's talk about Jeff Hostetler.
I love legend. Jeff Hostetler. Legend. He is a legend. Anyway, but I look at this game and I'm like, Joe Burrow is a very smart dude. He's got the intangibles. He's got the smarts. He's got the skill set. This team will go as far as Joe Burrow can take them. The defense, my boy Chido Ouzie, man, former Cowboy, playing out of his mind right now. Definitely so gracious to let him walk, but I think we're okay despite that transaction. But, bro, it's exciting. I do like the coach. I like this team. It's hard not to like the Bengals right now as far as like a team with a good foundation right now offensively.
They're a team I root for. They look fun. Only because they had that ugly helmet and they haven't really won a lot. So if I'm watching a game, I'm like, I'll root for the Bengals.
Closest game of the day, the Falcons all of a sudden, don't look now, but they're 3-3. They're 500. They're a 500 ball club, but also don't look now. Look away, Dolphins fans. Tua is just bad. And I think this is what's going to really catapult that trade to actually happen, where Deshaun Watson will be the next member of the Miami Dolphins. I think that's it's almost like a foregone conclusion. I don't think their organization will let them fall to the depths of hell behind Tua before they trade him. It'll be here's my trade offer. It's going to be Tua and a second, a fourth, and a sixth, and like four picks Tua for Deshaun Watson. That goes down. That goes down before the deadline.
I say no way to that.
What, are you saying no way to that as the Dolphins or the Texans wouldn't do that?
Well, the Texans don't want Tua in that trade, I don't think.
Well, what the hell are they going to do? They have Miles Davis, and he sucks.
So you're just talking about how bad Tua is, and the Dolphins are going to give up on him. So why
maybe this kid needs a fresh start.
I understand.
Different offense.
You know what he kind of has right now?
Nothing.
Being that he's played eight games in the NFL, it looks to me like a fairly fresh start. He's got to get his shit together, understandable, but these kids, they're rookie quarterbacks, second-year quarterbacks with barely any experience. Last year was no offseason. This year, I think there's a regression, obviously, for the Dolphins in general.
But don't you think, all right, so rookie slash second-year quarterbacks. We're talking this year's class, last year's class. Don't you think, based off the sample size last year and even seven games into this year, you can at least make a prediction, lean one way. Like Joe Burrow, we're leaning like he's going to be a good quarterback in this league.
But if you were leaning left at eight games in on Josh Allen's career, guess what? You leaned way the fuck wrong. Because Josh Allen took him two seasons to get going, and his third year is when he took the leap. These guys, some of them take more time. And the reality is, with a lot of the young quarterbacks, is that they're not really reading the game right. They're just so athletic, and they're able to make plays that some of the other guys aren't yet. But that shit runs out after a while, and you're going to have to start reading defenses. And you see a little bit of a pullback because everyone's an athlete.
If you look at stats, he was 32 for 40. Tua
threw the ball 40 times. Yeah.
Okay, and he completed 32 of them.
Yeah, but look at the passes.
And we're bashing him.
I'm not.
I'm just saying. And
did you see the picks? Did you see the interceptions?
Two of the picks, yes. But what I'm trying to say is that's why sometimes it's tough sometimes when we look at stats, how stats can lie, is what my point is.
These stats do lie because those interceptions were brutal. Right. Brutal.
Yeah, I agree. There's some, you know.
And there's also.
I'm not saying
that he's not a bad quarterback. I'm just saying that if a guy that you drafted that early, after seeing him for 8 to 10 games, surrounded by a bad team at that, I got to give him a little bit more of a chance.
You do realize this is his second year.
I do, but I also realize that he didn't start until week 10 or 11 last year.
I know, but there's a reason for that.
Plus because
my COVID, final didn't even have is camp.
Both teams stink, so that was one of those games.
I just think that the Deshaun Watson thing is a little bit of a reach. I don't actually believe that he's able to get moved. I think he can get moved, but I don't think
it's such a crazy scenario.
Unless the Texans are willing to just take next to nothing and dump the contract, I can't see a team mortgaging anything on top of taking on that deal. That's the main.
Well, if any team could do it, it's the Dolphins, and he has a no trade clause, and apparently that's the only team he would waive it for. Is the Miami Dolphins. So obviously this guy wants to go party in Miami and play for the Dolphins. Yeah. He could be the savior of that town. You don't know. I mean, yes, right now, is he looked at in the public eye as a piece of shit? Yeah, but that could be clear.
I'll reserve my judgment on that.
Correct. More facts, you know what? Here's the thing. With that, and it's funny you bring that up because I definitely wanted to touch on that for a second. The fact that nothing has been done. We are 7 weeks into the NFL now, and we've talked about this already. We're 7 weeks into the NFL. Nothing's been done to Deshaun Watson. No commissioner's exempt list, no days in court, no nothing.
Is he active?
He is active and being paid by the Texans to sit.
Is he? But he's not on the sidelines.
No.
Yeah, that's stupid.
What are we doing? The Texans either A, know something, B, they're trying to do the morally good thing and say, nope, because of all these women, we're going to do this.
It can't be there's no way the Texans would be calling the commissioner every hour saying, are you kidding me? Like, let's just say, what if it happened?
That's the thing.
Like a Brady or Rodgers, the Packers would be like, look at the report. He didn't do anything, you know. But the fact that it's just this nothing and the legal
leads you to believe,
like you forget about him,
right? And you're telling me the Texans the Texans should be on the phone every day, Roger. Listen, are you going to do anything to this kid? Because if not, we're going to start him next week.
Unless the Texans—that's
the bullshit. Like he needs to to tell him that your season's
over.
You're
also not taking into account how bad of a franchise the Texans are and how
could be that
they botch almost everything, especially in these cases.
Yeah, they botched a lot when Bill O'Brien was around. This is supposed to be a new thing.
They botched even giving this guy the contract, as far as I'm concerned. And
the other thing could be though, maybe the Texans, because the money is so massive. The Texans may have like labor lawyers looking over every.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Line
I'm
saying,
sure that there's going to be some type of bullshit down the line where the Texans are like, "Look, you owe this money back," something like that.
Or there's
got to be somewhere in the contract, if you get in trouble, you got to pay us back.
Texans may say to the NFL, "Hey, we're not going. We're going to get rid of this guy, whatever. And we need your help when we say we're not paying you. The NFL's office has to back that up." Maybe that's why it's in like lawyer.
Roger Goodell, I mean, he has a heart. I mean, there's been suspensions dished out left and right in the last couple of years, man, for like things that are detrimental and this, that, and the third, and make the league look bad. And you're telling me this don't make the league look bad? Like, do something, Roger. Like, you sat there. Yeah. And I go back all the time and I talk about the Zeke stuff. Huh?
I knew you were going
to Zeke stuff. Zeke Elliott was suspended for 6 games and there was not a goddamn thing
and
in court. None of it. The only time they went to court is when they fought the suspension.
The NFL was wrong for that. And I don't think that because they were wrong for that, they should be wrong again. Right? Like, you fucked
up. So then get right.
That's what I'm saying. Right. They're not doing this. Like, they're not doing that again because they realize that you can't be doing that.
Suspend them for the year.
Welcome to 2021, bro.
And then deal with that 2 years from now. Or they should have never suspended
You're telling
them,
like, me?
Do something.
Look, they got it wrong with Zeke, right? They get it wrong with a couple guys over the course of whatever. The Goodell's tenure. You know, Brady suspended 4 games for the ball thing. Like, whatever the hell he wants to do. It's like judge, jury, executioner. But what I'm talking about with right now is if in this current landscape of the world, where, let's be honest, there's things that were said, right? There was things that were said by John Gruden that were frowned upon more when it was dealing with women and dealing with things like that. We are in a culture now. You cannot mess around with this shit. How is the NFL saying, you know what, Texans, you guys handle this shit? No, that is a guy with a shield on his chest that says, NFL, employed by this league, you need to make a move right now. Enough is enough, dude. Enough is enough. And enough is enough of this conversation, and I'm sorry. But, like, it's just like...
Something's got to go.
He's got to go. That's it.
Cut him. Take his money away.
Sunday Night Football. Ruined my bets, by the way, because they had to hit the over. The Colts moved to 3-4. Carson Wentz, by the way... I'm not even going to talk about it because it's just so stupid. Something I posted on my personal Facebook. If you're friends with me on Facebook, go to my Facebook and we could talk about what I wanted to discuss last night.
I'm not going to do anything. What the 49ers are against the spread.
This game.
You tell me. No, but the 49ers are in trouble after last night.
This game, it was raining. It was late.
First of all.
The Nick game was at the same time.
First of all. It wasn't raining, Jimmy. There was like a vortex of
something. Matter of fact,
they're like, this is the first of its kind. I'm like, oh, cool. So the world's ending in San Francisco. Nobody's talking about that.
And also, did you hear? Maybe it's just me. Again, I'm the fossil on the show. You heard the raindrops hitting the microphone.
Yes.
If I'm
personal foul. And you're like, number 23.
The guy in charge of audio.
Right.
I think, like, did anybody at NBC saying, hey, Bill, you did the audio last night? We need you to fly to New York this morning because I had the game on and I was cleaning up stuff in my kitchen. I heard like, what the hell is that? It's the game. Now, we've watched rain games before.
All the time.
Some microphone was like literally.
Is it still raining? Hold the mic out. Like,
I think.
Yep, still raining.
I think some intern was taking those things on the sideline, pointing it up towards the sky. I've never heard. It was unbelievable.
Anyway, a very messy, messy game.
It was awful. And you know why? Both teams stink.
No, that's the thing. I think Carson Wentz made a couple plays last night that I'm just like, wow, dude, like you're actually not any good at football. But then like he's the hero and they interview him at the end of the night. And like,
I think
like,
Wentz played well considering.
That's what Collinsworth said. Like everybody was saying it, but I'm saying like
going on there.
Oh God, like that's well to you? Like, I don't know.
It was.
Yeah, he won the game, sure.
It was pouring bad. The weather. I think Wentz played good. He made a couple gutsy runs. Like that one run where he got that first down up the
and then
middle.
He pointed first down.
Two bad teams playing in the rain.
Yeah,
sounds like
every fucking player in football.
it's like the next chapter of my book.
Because he's got red hair. Is that what you're saying?
James Taylor should do a song. Two bad teams.
No, he's saying that, you know.
They stink.
The weather sucked.
Oh, yeah. The weather sucked. Wentz didn't suck, though.
All right. And you know who did suck?
The rest.
Jimmy Garoppolo. Like,
yeah. You know what bothers me more than anything?
Are you just like washing it because of the weather? Like, are you completely watching the performances of both? I mean, you're saying Wentz is gutsy, but do you not take it away from Garoppolo?
I'm saying the 49ers looked really good in the first half, and then the weather got real bad, and there was a lot of shitty turnovers that would not have happened if it wasn't raining. So
yes.
The 49ers, I don't think, played as bad as the score showed because they were right in it. They had a chance to tie it up with a two-point conversion with like 5 minutes to go in the game. You know, so they were there. But the weather fucked everything up, and
I'm creating a new genre of stink. It's completely stinks, and I can't give them the completely stinks because of the weather.
Okay, all right. Well, according to the stink factor, a stink meter,
I'll tell you where the difference in the game was. More so than anything yesterday, it was the underthrown balls by Wentz, where the receiver, the corner's in good coverage,
800 yards and penalties.
The cornerback is playing good in coverage. The ball's underthrown. The receiver sees it. The ball's underthrown. And instead of making a play on the ball, he just stops and runs back into the receiver. That happened four or five times.
That's what I'm saying. There's like 800 yards of defensive PI.
The 49ers could not overcome that. Again, it is the call, but maybe we need a little revision of that rule.
And the ratings for the game were brutal because it was on at the same time as the Knicks.
We'll get onto the Knicks when we come back from the break.
In New York City last night, 11 people were watching that NFL game last night.
I was one of the 11. And I was texting back and forth with a friend, and I was like, all I heard you got to turn it back on. They're down by six. I'm like, send me that text one more time. Down by six. He's like, screw you.
The Knicks were up like 30 at one point yesterday, were they not?
No, you were looking at their other game.
The Knicks were dominating.
They were dominating.
It was like 67 to 40 something.
We'll get into it.
They were up. They had a
good. Let's take a break. Pay some bills. Shout out to Absolute Eyewear real quick. And of course, when we come back, we'll talk about the weekend in sports that was outside of the NFL. And then we'll wrap it up with our Saints and Seahawks game picks. What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I got a question for you. Have you ever dreamt about flipping a house or buying an investment property? I know I have. There's a reason why house flipping is out of reach for most people, and that's because of a lack of information. Flipping Made Easy is for people like you who feel drawn to the world of house flipping, but they don't have a clue as to where to start. Check out flippingmadeeasy.com. Here, you'll find comprehensive and easy to understand information about every stage of the house flipping process. You'll receive access to millions of houses ripe with flipping potential. Hundreds of expert guidance explained through research articles and easy to understand video content. And thousands of vendors for all of your house flipping needs. Subscribe to flippingmadeeasy.com and become part of the flipping community. Right now, if you use the promo code CHOP, you'll receive a free t-shirt and a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's flippingmadeeasy.com. You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now.
Partners, I was like, what the hell is that noise? And then I put the game on. And then so nobody acknowledged it. Unless I wasn't watching intently, but I can't believe that's not. We have to go. I'm going to Google that. Rain noise on telecast. Maybe they did it on purpose. They realized this is a bad game. So let's, like, maybe people, you know. I've never heard of rain noise. I've seen the rain on the lens. You get that?
And then it was so weird because some of the shots you're looking at it and you're like, it's like, it's raining, but then like they're at the line, and I'm like, it's not raining. You know, I know we're back. I know I'm looking. Anyway, welcome back to the show. It is Sturch, Gooch, and of course Jimmy Palumbo, host of the Jimmy Palumbo Show, in studio today as our executive producer.
I'm running the board here.
Don't touch anything. Like, don't you dare touch anything. But we do have Jimmy in studio as we wrap up week 7. There was other sports that went down this week. There is a World Series that we have to be talking about. We'll preview more of that tomorrow, but the World Series is set. It is the Houston Astros taking on the Atlanta Braves. Obviously, I'll chop and chop and chop until they win this game and the World Series.
I'm rooting for the Braves.
Of course you are. Any Yankee fan in the right mind, that's a big. Did you see that debate on Chop Sports, by the way, Gooch? Dan Frungin, our boy, said, and he spoke to me, spoke my language, and you can speak to this too, because it was heavily debated. When I talk about heavily debated, 100 comments within like 10 minutes.
Yeah, right? Usually when I see that, I already know there's like 3 or 4 people that are involved in that, and I'm just like, oh, I know where this one's going. And I'm usually
so
right.
Here's what the status was. And I'm paraphrasing, and I'll just say it because this is my theory too. You're a red-blooded male, sports fan, sports fanatic. All three of us are fanatics. There is one phrase in the English language that should never be used from a sports fan. This goes for women too. Because I know there's a lot of women sports fans out there that are just as hardcore as us. My second favorite team is. Brutal.
I think there's some blurred lines here.
Okay, let me explain.
No, you can't. There is no sense.
There's no. I agree to that.
Here's what.
You can say who you're rooting for in an individual series.
Sure. I'm pulling for the Jets. I'm pulling for the Braves. But you can't say like, well, The Braves are in, and they're my second team, so it's cringe. If you have a son, which you have a daughter, I will have a son in like 9 days, right? If he grows up and he's drafted by the Boston Red Sox, first of all, I'll pull a friggin' Arch Manning and be like, nah, you're not going to win it. Or goes to the NFL. No. You know what? I'll use the NFL because I use the worst rival ever. I'll use the rival. I'll use the NFL for an example. He gets drafted to, I don't know, the Colts, right? He's the new starting quarterback of the Colts. And everybody knows, and their sister knows, that I'm the Dallas Cowboys heartbeat, right? Yes, will I pull for my son to do well? Sure will. You know, when he plays the Cowboys, am I going to have a very big conflict? Not really. You know,
you didn't just say your son's playing against the Cowboys, did you? Did I hear that right?
If he's a Colt.
If your son, wait a minute, now you just entered the rabbit hole.
There.
Listen to me very clearly. If your son is the starting quarterback, if your son is the starting quarterback for the 2-11 Colts, and they're playing the Dallas Cowboys, not a stitch of your soul will be rooting for the Cowboys that game. Not a stitch. And if it is, and if your father's still alive, he, with his grandson, my boy's in the NFL, is not going to root. The Cowboys won't even be a blip in your radar. You're forgetting.
Fine, and that's the exception to the rule.
So taking away the extreme case.
That's the extreme exception to the rule.
Where do we stand?
Unless your kid plays in the NFL.
Yeah, unless you have a son or family member on a team other than your team, then that gives you the right to say that's my second squad because my son
was there. Personally, I'll tell you exactly where I stand on it. I don't believe that somebody should have a second favorite team. I also don't think that anybody should really have any focus on somebody else's fanhood. Like, I don't have a basketball team.
Yeah, but right? but your team LeBron, which is, I was about so to use you can, a phrase you can bash I'm not allowed you to want. Anymore.
Here's what it really comes down to is like, A, I don't have a second favorite team. But if I did have a favorite team, there's teams that I also will root for. Like, I always like
who's your favorite team?
I'm a pack in the NBA. Yeah. I don't have one. Forget the NBA.
You're just not into the NBA.
I'm extremely.
No, he's actually more into the NBA than we are.
I'm extremely into the NBA, but it gives me that time off from having a passion where it actually affects me. Like, I could watch the NBA because I just like watching the games and I like a lot of the players.
But you have to have a favorite team.
No, you don't.
No, that's not true, Jimmy. Jimmy, I'll stand by that sentiment and say I don't have
the big three.
Listen. That's where I was going with it. I don't have a favorite college football team. I don't have a favorite college basketball team. I never went to these colleges. I can't.
Well, that's different.
Go nuts.
Like, I have teams in the NBA that I've liked throughout. Like, I like the '93-ish Hornets. Like, I remember that team, those guys. Like, I like the Sonics in '97. I like. That's just how I've always been.
God.
But I'll take that over the whole I have a second team.
I don't give a shit. And my thing is this. I'll be like, who the fuck are you to question the way I root for sports?
I'm definitely questioning you.
Right?
You
that's fine. Sports. That's fine. I simply just don't care.
I think you have a special
that's
team.
That was my solve to it. I said, you can do whatever you want. I'm not going to question what you do. I won't take you serious. I can't have a conversation with somebody that says like, well, you know, the Houston Astros are not doing well, but my Texas Rangers are.
Take them
like,
serious in,
no!
in terms of what? Like, you can't talk shit anymore if you have two teams.
That's
what
I'm saying.
Like, but like, as far as sports knowledge and analysis goes, that has no bearing.
I know in New York, some fans of the Giants, everybody thinks the Giant fans hate the Jets. It's not true. A lot of fans... Well, I root for the New York teams. I know when I lived in California, there was a couple of fans out there. They had their favorite team, but they also always rooted for the state of California. So the 49ers, the Raiders when they were in and out. Like the Chargers.
That's another thing.
Rams.
That's another thing. If you relocate, right? Relocate. My grandfather, God rest his soul, right? Grew up in Jersey, right? Went to Texas, became a Cowboys fan. Went to San Diego. Guess what? Still a Cowboys fan. You know what I mean? Like, you travel all over the world.
Yeah,
like people are like, oh, well, you know, I moved out here, so I kind of gravitate. I'm like, no, you don't gravitate. If you're a fan of a team, you stick with your team, no matter where you are.
My buddy Mark Masseri, and if he's listening to this, going to hate me right now. He has three boys. And he told me, he goes, yeah, man, big Yankee fan. Grew up in Bergen County. He goes, yeah, now that the kids are out here and everything, they were young. He goes, I'm just going to make them Dodger fans. I said, what? And he goes, well, it'll be easier. They'll be in school. They can root for the little thing. I said, we live in a world where, like, you can watch any game. I could be like the Zimbabwe Rams fan and watch the games at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Correct.
You at least have to try.
to like make technology your kids. Doesn't give you that right. Like,
but you do run the risk. Now, you run the risk. Three kids living in L.A., they become Dodger fans. Just like you, as though you're sure your son is going to be a Cowboy fan. You run the risk.
There's no risk. There's no way it won't happen. Out of my house. Here's the thing.
You would do
it. Here's the thing. And Sean, my good buddy Sean Boyan brought
your
up.
Daughter could date a Giant fan. You run that
risk? No. He's out of town. They're not welcome my house. Sorry, pal. No, but first of all, she won't date at all.
She doesn't
have an opportunity.
She'll be 45 years old.
Right. I'll be so dead. It's not even funny.
I don't care who my daughter dates. Once she turns 47, she
can do whatever she wants. But no, I'm saying this.
My second favorite baseball team is the Padres, by the way, guys. Just so we're clear.
You have a second favorite team?
Yeah, see, they're my National League team.
See, I want to like punch through you right now. Between
the fantasy, I root for player crap that when you go to a sports bar, everybody's yelling and screaming.
That's why I stopped going to sports bars.
But here's the thing.
Literally, because of fantasy football talk.
My second favorite team. By proxy, like when we're talking about the definition of each word in that phrase.
You know what it
like
is?
I have a favorite
you're
team.
You're not using the phrase.
About the Padres, you're but not I do root using for them in a. In a
no, 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 no.
Guys,
no,
this show isn't even my second favorite podcast.
you're not using it in the right context, Gooch. You could say that, like right now, you could say, like, I'll rephrase it for you. You are one of the biggest Yankee fans that I know, right? But you could say, like, yeah, but I really like that Padres team. That's all you could say. Not like,
no, you
they're
like
going to fucking win the World Series. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to be invested. You're not going to buy a Tatis Jr. Like, jersey.
I'll be as invested as I am in Penn State football. I didn't go to Penn State. If I had to pick a team, it's them. You asked me if I watched the Penn State game the other day. I said, wait, no, I didn't.
Well, it was on Channel 7, and it was a crazy ending.
Because I care
and you run a sports passing,
but I don't actually give a shit.
Now we're talking. There's a couple people chiming in about team relocation. So when Seattle moved to Oklahoma City for the Thunder, right? If you were a Sonic fan, you automatically get lumped into being a Thunder fan.
If it bothers you that much and you're that tied to the city, then you're not allowed to watch that sport anymore. That's it.
That's the rule.
That's it. You can't go.
If the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow, Jerry Jones was like, you know what? I love Buffalo nowadays. Actually, you know what? Toronto wants to be Cowboy. So if they became the Toronto Cowboys tomorrow, guess who's the first in line to get a Toronto Cowboys t-shirt? This guy. I'm not tied to the city of Dallas. I'm tied to the Cowboys. So your relocation rule doesn't apply to me because those same guys are on the team.
That would devastate you if they were.
It would suck. I don't want to go to Toronto. I like Dallas.
It wouldn't be the same.
I love
this
city.
This is the guy that made like a 15-minute video about Jalen Smith wearing Tony Romo's number 9. And he doesn't want. And he's like, I'm a Toronto Cowboys fan. I don't even think there is Cowboys in Toronto.
First of all, that makes zero sense.
Bro, bullshit. You got so upset when...
I'm very upset that he took Tony Romo's number because Tony Romo was my guy.
Also,
how does that have anything to do with the Toronto Cowboys?
Also, zero tackles out of Jalen Smith.
He did have a stat. How many missed tackles did he have?
Quarterback,
I actually watched
one
him.
Quarterback pressure. Listen, and he got blocked off by Antonio Gates.
I'm going to do my podcast at least for the next 18 years because I'm really praying and hoping that Dave has a wonderful boy born, and I'm just going to pray every day for 18 years, maybe a short prayer on my podcast, that he just becomes a Giant fan, just to bust his dad's balls. It'll be the greatest thing ever.
Because
then you show that little picture on Facebook.
My dad did it. Yeah, no. That's another thing. I'm watching my dad. I think, what game was it? Pittsburgh and somebody. Or no, it was Green Bay, Chicago, when they were playing. And there was like a shot in the crowd.
Is
of like,
your wife a football fan?
No, I mean, no.
She like a little bit?
She vicariously has to root for the Cowboys.
So if I get your son a gorgeous number 56.
She was a Jets fan. She was a Jets fan because of her father.
This should be the whole show.
No.
The seed is inside her soul. So if I get her a two onesies for your son, one with Namath,
this is why the house exploded the way it did. It's because of you have to vicariously just, if she wanted to tolerate me on Sunday, she would have to start rooting for the Cowboys. That's how it went. And that's how I made it.
The kid, I think your kid, the odds went up that.
Kid's got a Cowboys. Daughter's got a Cowboys,
you know what?
Cup.
Forget about the Giants. It'd be funnier if the kid becomes a Jet fan. Because that means you're in for a
rough because then you'll. My freaking father in law will love that
ugly
shit.
Green. He'll be. Your father in law's a Jet fan?
Yeah, that's how.
Forget it. Can we go to Grandpa's again?
I'm done talking about this, by the way. I don't want to talk about this. What'd he say?
Can we go to Grandpa's again? I want to watch the Jet game.
Can you imagine? You couldn't
actually, yesterday for the first time, you know, my daughter sat there and she was actually watching the football and she was like really excited about it. So I was very like proud dad moment.
It was yesterday?
The only jersey.
There was no Cowboys game on. So who's her favorite team? Who did she watch?
She just watched the Octobox like I did with 8 games playing. And her eyes were just like, football. Football, football, football. Like, that's it.
Your kid's a Jet fan. And actually, the only number he'll have is 12, a Namath onesie. That's the only.
There was a moment, and this is gonna be good. There was a moment yesterday when I told you I was watching a pregame. Boomer Esiason, who has blonde hair, she goes, "That looks like mommy." Are you telling me
that
she looks like Boomer Esiason? This is great. I'm like, this is so funny. And I didn't tell her that.
Your wife's a Jet fan. She looks like Boomer Esiason. And we're going to get her a Namath jersey and a Namath onesie.
It's not.
And an LT onesie.
Yeah, knock this crap off, man. You're going down a road you don't want to go down.
ESPN's reporting that Dave Sturcho's kid is a Jet fan.
Where is this? Oh, you never added the Saints one back there, Gooch, did you?
Getting
all good. So let's pick that game. Let's get into that game.
We're not going to comment on the 9 overtime Penn State Illinois thing. You guys think that's a good
one? I didn't see that
game. I loved it.
I didn't see the game.
The first 2 overtime.
I think my friend Jess posted about it in Chop Sports about how the fact that it was going into like the 6th overtime.
Well, it's just 2-point conversions. Do you know that?
No. What's the rule now? I know they changed it.
You got to do the first 2 overtimes, or if you score a touchdown, you got to match it, that kind of thing.
Okay.
After the third one, it's only 2-point conversions. So you start at the 3-yard line. And if the Penn State gets 2, you have to match the 2. Mm. It's all 2s. So there was like 17 plays from the 3-yard line.
And then he just kept scoring?
And then finally Penn State missed. And then the kid from Illinois, Sitkowski from Rutgers, who stinks.
So do they have to do a passing play at some point? Is that a rule or no?
Illinois ran for like 7,000 yards against Penn State. But in the overtime.
No, but I'm saying like in the overtime, is it a rule that you have to pass it in?
No, no.
You know what I mean? Like, when does it get to that?
When there was one play where the guy at Penn State had it and he got stonewalled at the line. But some people think it's like a dopey rule and it makes like the runner on second base. They think it should be
terrible.
You know?
Well, yeah, I did not see that. I didn't see that at all. But good stuff. Rutgers off.
Yeah, we had off.
Bye week. Much needed bye week, by the way.
Yes, because
and they come back to play Wisconsin, right?
Illinois.
No.
Play Illinois this week, I think.
You're right. It is Illinois because in Wisconsin, I have a parking pass that I bought by accident. Play,
but Sitkowski's arm looked like he got bent into a pretzel in overtime. So.
All right, you're off camera again there, Chief. Get over there. All right, so anyway, let's tackle the Saints game, okay? There is a Monday Night Football game to wrap up this week. Week 7 concludes with the New Orleans Saints favored on the road in Seattle, 12th man, all that good stuff. They're favored on the road because quarterbacking for your Seattle Seahawks is Geno Smith. So that's why the spread is the way it is. Gooch, who do you like tonight and why?
I like the Saints because the Jekyll and Hyde Saints are here to win their game because it's the on again, off again. Actually, no, it should be the opposite because they did win. But Geno Smith is the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, so I can't buy into them right now. The Saints...
He looked okay in like his come off the bench moment.
The Saints coming off a bye week?
I believe so.
Sean Payton coming off a bye week is a strong candidate for a cover for me.
This is a bad football game.
But I agree, it's a bad football game. I have no interest in this.
Because you know why? Didn't the Giants
Well, you know who does have a vested interest in this? Probably your future son, the Jets fan, because the Seattle Seahawks control the Seahawks draft capital.
You guys got to stop.
Going into next season. Never. So right now, Geno Smith could play abysmal football like he always used to for the Jets and could actually help the Jets in the long run and get the Jets another top 10 pick, much like the Dolphins have or the Eagles have right now. Mm. And the Dolphins probably have 2 top 10 picks too.
No, they gave those away to the Eagles.
I want
to
have your son in the womb on my podcast right now. I want to hear that whoosh, 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 whoosh. No, actually, the noise is saying J-E-T. I think somewhere in there, the heartbeat's saying, go Jets.
Oh, my God. No, God. Oh,
the ugly green.
Terrible.
His room will be all
that
awful green.
This is the worst episode I've ever done.
It's the greatest podcast of all time right now.
But anyway, so where are you going with this, Jimmy? We'll let you pick this game. Why not? We'll be giving
it. This is clear. This is just, I'm going to go with the Saints Because then I could say, well, the Giants beat them, and oh, look at me.
All right.
Seattle, you're right. Geno Smith from Seattle.
I'm gonna also ride the Saints on this one. I think that they're gonna beat up the Seattle defense. The Seattle defense is very bad. The only thing I do need, though, is I need Seattle to score at least, I don't know, 10 to 14 points so the New Orleans Saints defense goes down and I can win my fantasy football game.
I'm 6-1 in fantasy, all picked by the computer. Let me ask you guys this. Of the 32 NFL teams, I just went through the entire league, okay, while we were talking about the Jets. How many of the 32 do you think I have as stinks?
25.
75% of the league.
I have 19 teams stink. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I have 7 teams that are average, and I have 6 teams that are only good. There's no grades.
Who's good? Who's on the Jimmy?
I got the Rams is good. I got Arizona is good. I got Green Bay. I got one great, Tampa Bay. And I got Dallas is good.
All right.
Vegas is good, and that's it.
Yeah, Vegas
only,
is good, huh?
Only one good team.
So Buffalo's not good. The Ravens are not good.
No, they're average. Buffalo, average.
Cincinnati's not
average.
On today's episode of the Chop Sports Daily, we lose all credibility.
Okay, time out. Seattle stinks. San Francisco stinks. Detroit stinks. God. The Bears stink. Carolina stinks. Atlanta stinks.
This is going to be
Washington,
a podcast
Philly,
by
and
itself.
The Giants stink. Kansas City stinks. Denver stinks. Pittsburgh stinks. Cleveland stinks. Houston, Jacksonville stink. Miami, Jets, New England stink.
All right.
That's it.
I don't actually disagree with any of that. Not one.
I will admit.
Where you're wrong is the teams. So you basically just named every team that's not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
They all stink.
There's some teams that are 3-4 that stink.
The 13 teams that you named, you could pick one of the teams that you named is going to make the playoffs, and all the other 13 aren't.
Of the 19, 4 completely stink. I didn't want to go into subcategories.
All right. We don't want to self-deprecate everybody here on the network. So, look,
and the game
that
stink.
Is the week 7 will conclude tonight. Enjoy the football. And, of course, Jimmy Palumbo's here in studio. He'll be recording his next podcast. He has two of them here on the network. We are very close to hitting our next milestone as far as downloads are concerned. Thanks, Jimmy Palumbo, because why not? Without Jimmy, we'd be nothing, right? We'd just a sinking ship. So be sure that the Jimmy Palumbo show drops on Tuesdays. What happened to that guy? Do you remember that guy?
Remember
drops
that guy?
On Fridays, which I need to do better sharing because I feel like as soon as Rick shares it, I'm like, I forgot.
Yes. My social media compadre, Dave over here.
Yeah, well, Dave's got a lot going on right now. So Dave is...
Listen, it's very hard to take care of a Jet fan as a child.
I'm gonna wind up strangling you tonight. But anyway, the entire network is flourishing right now. We're on the move. Be sure to go listen to the Squeaky Bum Time podcast. They drop tomorrow. Very big ups to those guys. Their numbers are soaring through the roof. I'm very excited for them and their future. I will be talking to a One Scoop Espo tomorrow night about possibly dropping, and you might get into this one, a Knicks/Nets podcast. So a rival podcast with the Knicks and the Nets on our network. Okay. We're excited about that. We also have, obviously, Chopheads MMA coming off the shelf. They had a bye week last week because Tommy D was, wearing masks on, Epcot and all that. So he's back. So we'll get him to do his podcast. The goddamn Jets will be complaining about their big loss. And the Mets are going to be back, I think, this week to talk about their offseason plans. So a lot of stuff going on, man, a lot of stuff. So be sure to check out the website, chopsportsmedia.com. Follow us on all of our social medias, @chopsportsmedia. And, of course, thank you guys for subscribing, liking, sharing, doing everything you guys do to have a nice little surge in downloads and support for this podcast as we continue to grow. So now Jimmy is holding up his business card, in which he has now, yep, it's yours.
I have a full business card.
We have officially entered that realm of things.
I want to make sure they spelled my name right, though.
They did not.
I did it right next to you.
Yeah. You literally created the damn thing next to you.
But why does it say visit jets.com on my card?
For Sturch and Gooch and, of course, Jimmy Palumbo, this has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. Thank you for listening. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Go Jets.
Oh, my God.
So excited to record 31 more fucking podcasts today.